So today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Ram Girdhari Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji, I'm present.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable association. Now you can start the class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhaktavrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhaktavrinda. So today we are reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhilila, chapter 20, text number 154. This is the topic where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami. And we have been discussing about Mahaprabhu's personal instruction to Sanatana Goswami, and very instructive chapter where Mahaprabhu is very systematically, gradually, as well as very deeply getting into the Siddhanta. And this chapter is going to be forming a very good basis for our foundational understanding of Krishna consciousness. And if we very focusedly participate and listen to this chapter, our basics of Krishna consciousness will be very strong, as well as we will be able to present and preach nicely to various people. Sometimes we have been hearing from different sources, different things, and this chapter forms as a kind of a check on our fundamental understanding. So we will read this verse 124 and discuss in a little detail on that. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Translation: Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for He is the prime cause of all causes. Purport. This is the first verse of the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. Today we are going to discuss only from this verse. It's a very famous verse and popular. We have heard this verse, you know, zillion times. Let's see, how we dive deep into this to understand this basic verse in our life. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedhanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been enlightening Sanatana Goswami. And in the just concluded verse 153, he is talking about the Supreme Lord. Actually, from 152 onwards, he is starting to explain about the eternal form of Lord Krishna. So from 152 for the next 6-7 verses, he's explaining about the Supreme Lord in detail. Srila Prabhupada was explaining that there are only two tattvas. One is about Ashraya Tattva. Another one is called Ashrita Tattva. I hope you all must have heard this when you all heard the verse number 151, where Prabhupada very clearly explains that Ashraya Tattva is Krishna and Ashrita Tattva is everything that is created by the Lord. And after explaining about that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went ahead to glorify Krishna in specific, especially with respect to his forms, activities, and in totality, the Supreme Lord. We have discussed in the past that there are only two truths. Eternally, there are only two truths in this entire creation. And if anybody who has understood these two truths, they are called self-realized soul. And the two truths are, truth number one, rather than just saying it's truth, it's absolute truth. So absolute truth number one is Krishna. And actually absolute truth number two is Krishna's. The entire creation can be clubbed into these two things. That is what Srila Prabhupada said as Ashraya and Ashruta. Anything that does not fall under these two truths can be simply classified as Maya. The reason is, actually we can't classify anything beyond these two because there is nothing like that. That is why Maya means that which is not, illusion. So these two truths, Krishna and Krishna's. What is this Krishna's? Anything that is created by the Lord, for the Lord, and it is actually controlled under the direction of the Lord. So we are all Krishna's energies. This universe is Krishna's energy. So, these two truths, these two absolute truths, have to be very clearly understood, analyzed, and eventually we need to subscribe as a part of our life and a way of our life on these two truths and shield ourselves from any other aspect of life. So in our discussion today, we are going to discuss six different points from this shloka that we just read today. Actually, we are going to analyze this shloka in depth, and as we analyze, we will refer to different places in Srimad Bhagavatam and try to see if the same verse next time when we read, if we are able to get the depth of this knowledge that we will discuss today. These six principles are very interesting to contemplate on because all the self-realized souls, they have only dealt these six points in different manner. And that's the reason this very simple verse that composed by Brahma, is Ishvara Parama Krishna, is actually a simple but deep prayer glorifying the Supreme Lord. So using this one prayer, Krishna's supremacy, Krishna's personality, Krishna's past, present, future, and it will also talk about what happens when somebody comes in contact with Krishna. So we will refer some notes from Srimad Bhagavatam as we churn this verse. So the first reflection is give credit where the credit is due. This is an English saying. Give credit where the credit is due. That is why Ishwaraha. The word Ishwara is applicable only to Krishna, because nobody else can own this word. Krishna, being Ishwara, has to be very deeply understood by devotees. And if we refer to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and few other places, and especially if you refer the prayer that King Chitraketu, after seeing Lord Sankarsana face to face, he is explaining this Ishwara point very nicely. He says, one of the prayers, there are many, many prayers that he offers, but one of the prayers that he says, oh my dear Lord, you are Param Isha. So this Param Isha, when explaining, Srila Prabhupada explains, there are two verses, not two verses, there are five verses actually. Sixth canto, 16th chapter, text number 38, all the way till 42. 38, 39, 40, 41, five verses. Srila Prabhupada talks about this point on Paramisha, how the Lord is a supreme controller. So when explaining this, few interesting points about Ishwara is explained. Number one point is nobody else can be called Ishwara or Parameshwara. So anytime when you hear the word Parameshwar, Supreme Ishwara, that is only attached to the word Krishna and nobody else. And the second point, Srila Prabhupada clarify there is, that if somebody by chance try to say anybody else as Ishwara, Prabhupada says he's called Hritagnya because his intelligence is lost. And Prabhupada further explains that if somebody gives this title or give this credit Ishwara to anybody else apart from Krishna, especially to demigods, because we all, by now, by the mercy of Prabhupada, have understood Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead, at least in principle. Maybe we may have to work on ourselves to live by that. But prior to coming to Krishna consciousness, at least those of us who have come from India have got different understanding about God, demigods. Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to give a first class classification, clarification on, you know, this point. So, Srila Prabhupada, the first point he says, how this word Parameshwara is applicable to Krishna, and anybody who says anyone else as Krishna or Ishwara is called, his intelligence is lost, Hridagnya, his intelligence is lost. Bhagavad Gita 7.20, Prabhupada very nicely explains that. But the third point is, those who worship demigods as Ishwara, or those who worship any other personality as Ishwara, Srimad Bhagavatam categorically call that person as Nara Pashu or Dvipada Pashu, which means animals in human form of life. So this prayer, Ishwara Parama Krishna, whenever we hear the word Ishwara or Parameshwara, it actually tells lot of points which are Siddhanta and which are end of the truth. And then the fourth point also that makes this word Ishvara complete. The reason why Ishvara not assigned to demigods or any other personality and why they are called animals in the human form of life is because any benediction we receive from demigods are short-lived, and demigods are also getting their sparks from the Supreme Lord. So it is actually an insult to the demigod as well as the Supreme Lord if Ishvara word is called for anybody else. What to speak of considering ourselves as Ishvara? What to speak of approaching the Supreme Lord for some materialistic things? What to speak of forgetting that everything came from Krishna? So this is about Ishvara. The second aspect is the sterilization effect. The first point is give credit where the credit is due. So we defined about Ishvara. The second point is about Parama. So I title it as the sterilization effect. What does the word Parama actually mean? When understanding any verse, if at all you want to dive deep into it, we can definitely analyze it for our own purification. The Parama, Prabhupada explains as the supreme. But in this context, what we are going to discuss is the effect of coming in contact with this Ishvara. That is why I said the sterilization effect. We understood who Ishvara and why Ishvara. The word Parama is sterilization effect because what is the effect of coming in contact with the Supreme Lord? It is very nicely explained that anybody who associate with this Ishvara in transcendence escapes material nature. Again, I'll go back to Chitraketu's prayer. He explains, if somebody comes in contact with you with kama, with dvesha, with bhaya, and sneha. So the Parama part of the sterilization effect is, if anybody comes in contact with this Ishvara, even with lust, even with hatred, even with fear, even with love, the net effect is purifying. Akama sarvakama mokshakamava udharati thivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushamparam. The Lord is supreme. The reason He is supreme is because of, one of the reasons He is supreme, is because of the sterilization effect that He gives to the person who comes in contact with Him. The reason I call it sterilization effect is Prabhupada explains. Like a dry seed, if you take a fertile seed, if you fry them, or if you dry them, then the seed loses all its fertility. And Prabhupada explains that we have the seed of karma. You know, in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada explains Prarabdha, Apararabdha, Kutam and Bijam. They are all four seeds or four outcomes of our past sinful activities or past pious activities. When the jiva carry that seed, and when that jiva comes in contact with this Ishvara, Krishna, then like how when the seed is dried, the seed loses its fertility, similarly, this jiva, when in come in contact with the Supreme Lord, even with material desire, then the person is purified. That is why akama, sarvakama, mokshakama va udharati tivrena bhakti yogena ejeta purusham param. I'll give example for this four category. How kama, dveshat, bayat, snehat, when they came in contact with the Supreme Lord, they had the sterilization effect. Dhruva Maharaj, his desire to go and see Krishna was not pure. It was out of kama. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of a thief who is interested in stealing, sat in the Bhagavatam class of a Bhagavatam speaker. And when the Bhagavatam speaker described about the wonderful bodily decorative feature of the Supreme Lord, he went to Vrindavan, searched for Krishna and got it. His intention was not to love Krishna or serve Krishna. So it's a very good example. Prabhupada says how even by dvesha, even by not desiring to serve the Lord, even if somebody comes in contact with the Supreme Lord, bhayat, we have plenty of examples for bayat. We ourselves are a very good example. In our earlier days, in our childhood days or our previous generation, it used to be God-centered civilization, God-centered generation. Everybody used to be God-centered. And now, from God-centered civilization to we are moving towards God-fearing civilization. I am serving God, I am glorifying God, worshipping God, giving oblations. It is because if I don't give, something will happen to me, so better let me do it. But the latest social media generation is going towards no God civilization. So bayat we have plenty. Out of fear, somebody come in contact with Krishna and they get purified. Indra, after the entire episode of Govardhan Leela, he was so ashamed. He was so much afraid to go and stand in front of Krishna. Brahma, after kidnapping all the cowherd boys and the cows, he was so much ashamed and so much in fear when he went in front of Krishna. So bhayat. Snehat, traditional example, gopis. So what Prabhupada explains is, this Parama, Ishvara Parama, anybody who comes in contact with this Parama, Ishvara, Supreme Ishvara, whether it is Kama, Dveshat, Bayat, Snehat, like a seed dried, their sinful propensity, their heart will be completely purified and there will be a special sterilization effect. You will not have any enjoyment propensity for this material world. One gopi happens to meet another gopi. Prabhupada very dramatically explains this in one of his lectures. One gopi happens to meet another gopi. She was asking, where are you going? And she said, if you are going towards Yamuna, be careful. There is a boy who is playing flute with dark blues. If you come in contact with him, your rest of the life, if you ever have any desire to enjoy this materialistic world, it will be completely doomed. So beware when you come in contact with Krishna. She wants it. It is actually a glorification of Krishna, but because gopis are gopis, they have their own rasa and glory to Krishna. So she very dramatically, very funnily, and Prabhupada nice, gives a very interesting voice modulated lecture there. So that is why Parama is sterilization effect. Krishna, That's our third. And I give a phrase called purification in totality. Why purification in totality? Because the word Krishna is in itself purifying. Even if somebody chants that word knowingly, unknowingly, consciously, unconsciously, they are blessed. There was a king who used to have a special loving affair with a prostitute. This king used to be very notorious, naughty, and a very bad person. His virtues and values had been pretty bad. So this king had a friend or a companion by name Krishna Veni. So this king used to be very fond of her. So one day, almost he used to visit her every day. So one day before going to her, he thought that I'll give Krishna Veni some nice flowers. So he went to the garden and plucked flowers, telling that this flower I'll give to Krishna Veni. This flower I'll give to Krishna Veni. This flower I'll give to Krishna Veni. And she used to attract this king a lot, and the rest of her whole life has gone by this king doing all these notorious activities. And after his death, in his judgmental time, Chitragupta did his calculation and said that he did not do any one single pious activity, so he has to be punished in the different categories of hellish planets. So before the judgment was declared, one person in the assembly said, no, he did one day chant the name of Krishna Veni three times, even though he did not consciously chant that word. But if you notice, he had chanted the name of Krishna three times, so he will get a credit of staying in the spiritual, in the heavenly planets for half an hour. So this person got really surprised that I just did not even think of any Lord or any personality, anything. Just by unconsciously chanting the name of the Lord, we get such an effect. So for the rest of the half an hour when he was in the heavenly planets, he just kept on saying, Krishna, 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 Krishna. He didn't say anything else, just kept on saying that. And after half an hour, when the judgment was going to be declared to send him to hellish planets, once again the judgment was stopped. And the reason was, in the half an hour that he spent in the heavenly planets, he chanted thousands of names of the Supreme Lord, so hence he should be given eternal place in Goloka Vrindavan. In Radha Rasa Vihari temple in Juhu, we had a very nice devotee who was actually the contractor of Radha Rasa Vihari temple. He shared with us a very nice pastime. I think I've shared this before. But never mind, we can always discuss it again. So the Shetty ji, every day used to report to Srila Prabhupada before he goes home when the construction was going on for Radha Ras Bihari temple. You all must have read how difficult it was to get Radha Ras Bihari temple from the mafias. So every day the Shetty ji used to report to Srila Prabhupada about the progress. One particular day the Shetty ji thought that I'm fully dirty, my body is fully covered with dirt. So he decided that let me report him tomorrow. Then he finally thought that how can I leave home without giving an update to Srila Prabhupada. So he was in two minds and finally he made up to go to Srila Prabhupada. I had a good fortune to hear this from Shetty ji in Vrindavan on Srila Prabhupada's 25th disappearance day ceremony in 2002 in Vrindavan Dham. So as he was speaking, he was crying. So as soon as he went to Srila Prabhupada and offered his obeisances, Srila Prabhupada looked at Shetty ji. His head to toe was fully covered with dirt. And Srila Prabhupada immediately made a statement to him. My dear Shetty ji, you are constructing a wonderful place for Radha Rasbihari to be worshipped and also our devotees to stay peacefully. I will see to it you will get a permanent place in Goloka Vrindavan Dham. So as he was narrating, Shetty ji was crying and he made a very interesting point. He said, after all, I am just a contractor. I was not even an initiated devotee. I was not even coming for Mangalarti. I was not even leading a life of an ascetic. I am not even anywhere close to all of you devotees. He was addressing to the entire assembly. Just because I was making the temple for Radha Rasa Bihari, Srila Prabhupada gave this privilege of making sure, he made the statement, Shetty ji, make sure you'll have a permanent place in Goloka Vrindavan Dham. That's a statement that Shetty ji told. Then he said, if I could get such a privilege, what to speak of all of you who are chanting 16 rounds a day, following four regulative principles, preaching Krishna consciousness, glorifying the Supreme Lord, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the Supreme Lord, honoring Prasadam, what to speak of all of you, what privilege you will all have. My rejoinder is that in spite of all these things, if we miss this opportunity to glorify Krishna, who is unfortunate? So the word Krishna is very appropriate, important, because Srila Prabhupada and all the great, glorious acharyas, their contribution is to give Krishna as it is, as he is to us. In Maharani Kunti's prayer, she is chanting Krishnaya, Vasudevaya, Devaki, Nandanaya cha, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, Govindaya, Namo Namaha. In teachings of Queen Kunti, for this particular prayer, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving a fantastic explanation. Kunti Maharani was so much concerned for all of us. And she knew that Kali Yuga is going to come and the days are going to be bad. So she actually wanted us to get in touch with Krishna. And she wanted to make sure we come in contact with the Krishna and not any Krishnas. In the sense, because when Krishna was there was Paundraka who was looking like Krishna. So to help us, Prabhupada writes this in this purport, in the teachings of Queen Kunti. Kunti Maharani did not want us to get misguided or get misdirected. So hence she said, Krishnaya. Which Krishnaya? Vasudeva Krishnaya. So Krishnaya Vasudevaya. And not any other Krishna. He should be Vasudeva Krishna. just to be doubly sure, there could be somebody who may say, I am also Vasudeva Krishna. So she said, Devaki Nandanaya cha. So it is, he is son of mother Devaki. What if somebody comes and says, no, no, my mother's name is also Devaki? She said, no, no, that Krishna who was, you know, taken care by Nandagopa in the Vrindavan Dham. And she said, that person who is there to cause and to that personality offer my obeisances. So Prabhupada gives that we want to make sure that you don't get distracted by any other agenda, but for single pointedly focus to the Supreme Lord. That is why when he formed this foundation, ISKCON, somebody suggested, why Krishna consciousness? Why not God consciousness? Srila Prabhupada was very clear. God means Krishna, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But with a very heavy heart, I can share this, that we as practicing devotees, because of our own lethargy, because of our own, you know, quotients, what happens is, we are international, we are a society, we have consciousness, but Krishna is missing. So, it is very unfortunate, in this entire word, international society, consciousness, what supersedes is Krishna. If the word Krishna has gone, the word is meaningless. Similarly, in our own lives, in our own activities, if Krishna is not there, so hence our life should be for Krishna, by Krishna's, towards Krishna. So it's very important that we as Krishna's utilize the resources that are Krishna's, should offer it to Krishna, who is the owner, Ashraya Tattva. So the third principle is that this is purification in totality with presence of the Lord. In the absence of the Lord, it is fully zero. Krishna ekala Ishwaraha maya hara antaha. So Krishna is the only Ishwara, rest everything is maya. So if you remove the word Krishna, the whole arithmetic is zero. So that is why Ishwara Parama Krishna. So the fourth aspect is the permanent and the original one. Satchidananda Vigraha. He is a permanent and the original. And his person. So it's very interesting aspect of it. We spoke about who is Ishwara? What is the effect of coming with Ishwara? And how that effect is happening so far. But Brahma is further clarifying his position. Krishna's, you know, overlaying with the full-on personality. He is the permanent one and the original one. If you see the carefulness that is being brought in by Prabhupada, Brahma, Kunti Maharani, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, is to make sure there are so many unscrupulous scholars who give so many funny explanations. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada for giving his Bhagavad Gita as it is. Otherwise, people take Bhagavad Gita and portray Krishna as an imaginary personality. Portray Krishna as a character within us. Krishna as a strength within us. If you go to all these bogus, you know, forums, you get to see reawaken Krishna within us. Reawaken Hanuman within us, all sorts of funny stuff. So to clarify all those personalities, the prayer is very clear. He is the permanent. Why permanent? Because he is eternal. As the Jiva is eternal. He is original. As the Jiva is original. And he is Vigraha, not just some light or some illusion. He is a personality with emotions and love as the Jiva. But the difference is, he is Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. This Jiva is Sir Satchidananda. But Krishna is not just Sachidananda Vigraha, he is Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. So he is permanent and the original one. That is why the word only is applicable to Krishna. He is the cause of the invention. And definitely the cause and effect both are the Supreme Lord. We are going to speak about that in a bit. So he is glorified as Dhruvam, which means you exist in the beginning, in the middle and the end, within and without, no beginning, no end. When cosmic manifestation doesn't exist, Krishna existed as spiritual original potency. So hence, we need to understand the Supreme Lord as the permanent and the original one. He is glorified as Dhruvam only because of this. Dhruvam means one who existed in the beginning, middle and the end, within and without. And this Vigraha aspect is what our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas are very clearly classifying. In fact, from verse number 155 onwards, 2-3 verses, you will discuss about Krishna's personality. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is classifying how Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti Satyate. So he is Bhagavan because of his personality. He is not just Brahman, he is not just Paramatma, he is complete Bhagavan. And that understanding we've got because of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. So Satchidananda Vigraha is defining about his existence from the past to the future. Anadi Adi Govinda. So Anadi Adi Govinda, I would like to glorify him by saying he is the unlimited but conquerable. How? Actually, Krishna, he is unlimited, unconquered for many, but conquerable by his dear devotees. All the universes are moving about like an atom. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, material energy, ego, they are all covering this entire universe, and he is creating, is controlling, is maintaining the entire cosmos. Anadi Adi Govinda. He is Anadi Adi, but the word Govinda defines the conquerable part of it. Anadi Adi defines the unlimited part of it. So that is why Anadi Adi Govinda means he is unlimited, at the same time he is conquerable. That personality whom nobody can even Pantastu Koti Satavatsara Sampragamyo Vayo Ratabi Manaso Munipungavanam Sopyastiyat Prapada Chimni Avichintya Tatve Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Pantastu Koti Satavatsara Sampragamyo. Koti Satavatsara. Tens and thousands of years. Munipungavanam. These munis are sitting and doing meditation. For what? To get a glimpse of one tip of the toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead is fearing for Mother Yashoda's love, is fearing for Gopi's love, is longing for Gopa's association. He is beloved in Vrindavan and is conquered by everybody in Vrindavan. So the unconquered, unlimited, anadi, adi is Govinda, is dear to cows, brahmanas and controller of our senses. So that person is really conquered by a devotee's pure love. So in this prayer, Brahma is not only teaching the Siddhanta about Krishna's glorious nature, he is also going to explain, that's the last part of it. the process to understand him. So the fifth principle is he is unlimited but conquerable. He talks about his unlimited, unconquered nature, but his love for him, little bit of love for him, not even complete unadulterated, little bit of love he reciprocates. And more than us desiring to go to him, he is desiring, longing, sitting in the edge of the seat with his open arms, waiting for us to just give him an indication that we are interested in him. That's all. That's everything he will do. Rasaraj Prabhu once mentioned a very nice point. He said that if we agree to Krishna's invitation, even though we may be unqualified to participate in any of the activities of Krishna, it is Krishna's problem to make us qualified. And he gave a very good example. If you befriend a multi-millionaire, you may not have any qualification to attend his parties or gathering, but somehow he invites you to his gathering and party. He will ensure that you are presentable in that forum. He knew you don't have a right dress to wear. He knew you don't have a right car to come in. He knew everything of your background. Still he invited you. And you, by accepting his invitation, the entire responsibility to make you presentable in that forum belongs to that multimillionaire. Similarly, just we need to agree to be part of Krishna's plan. That's why I used to always talk about part and parcel, part and parcel. Just agree to be part of Krishna's plan. Rest everything is not our problem. Rest everything is Krishna's problem. Because he is the one who invited us. He is the one who is making the offer. He is the one who is giving all sorts of rosy picture. He is the one who sorts of giving everything. It is us who are just believing him. And that is exactly what he is asking for. Just believe in me. Trust. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Then you will come to me. He did not say what all he is going to do in our life. And he will do for somebody removal of certain things, and for somebody addition of certain things. That is not our problem. If we have given our selves to him, he will take us to him. Just we should not come in the way. That is why our biggest obstacle in our journey in our Krishna consciousness is not anybody else, it is us. So give ourselves a way for us to go forward in our spiritual journey. And that is the last point. The faultless process. Sarva Karana Karanam. What is the Sarva Karana Karanam defines? Sarva Karana Karanam word defines about the entire Bhagavad Dharma process. Because in the process of Krishna consciousness, he is the ingredient, he is the intelligence, he is the inspiration, and he is the success. We are just a puppet. That is why Sarva Karana Karanam. Ingredient is also him. Intelligence is also coming from Krishna. Inspiration is also coming from Krishna. And the result is also awarded by Krishna. So who are we? We are just a puppet. Once a scientist happened to meet the Lord and challenge the Lord. My dear Lord, right from the beginning of my invention or endeavor to invent something, one thing that constantly troubled me, that is you. Anytime when I try to invent, somebody says, God, 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 God. Because you do the creation. So I worked pretty hard and found out a way to create human beings from dirt. So the Lord answered back, "Wow, that's a good news. Can you please demonstrate that to me?" The scientist responded, "Sure, my dear Lord, I'll demonstrate right away. I'll demonstrate how I can create a human being from dirt." So the scientist bowed down to pick up a handful of dirt. And the Lord stopped him. "My dear scientist, please get your own dirt. Don't use my dirt to create a human being." So the story ends there. The point is, we are just manipulating Krishna's energy and trying to take a credit. We are trying to adjust things here and there and try to put our tag. We try to take responsibility for all the successes and blame the Lord and all the other things for all our so-called failures. So this Sarva Karana Karanam, if somebody understands this, they will definitely be able to understand the entire Siddhanta of life. So hence the last point is about Bhagavad Dharma. Prabhupada explains the difference between Bhagavad Dharma and a non-Bhagavad Dharma. Is Bhagavad Dharma means we have very clear cut understanding Isha Vashyam Idam Sarvam. There is no sectarian belief. Understanding everything come from Krishna, Ishvara, Isha Vashyam Idam Sarvam. Yet Kincha Jagat Yam Jagat. Second thing of Bhagavad Dharma means not considering everything in this material world is false. Because the Mayavadi says Brahma Satyam Jagat Mitya. But Bhagavad Dharma says no, material world is not false. Material world is Asashvatam. The third aspect of Bhagavad Dharma is we don't envy anyone because of no envy towards God. Bhagavad Dharma talks about non-envious nature because we are considering ourselves as part of Vasudeva Kudumbakam. Krishna is the father, we are just the beloved children. So there is no enviousness nature. And hence no enemies. And finally, the person who subscribed to this Bhagavat nature considers himself as a portion of Krishna's being well-wisher to everybody. So hence he also remains a well-wisher. So anybody who follows Bhagavad Dharma, understands Sarva Karana Karanam, understands ingredient intelligence and inspiration very nicely, becomes well-wisher to everybody. So hence, anybody who subscribed Ishvara, Parama, Krishna, Satchit, Ananda, Vigraha, Anadi, Adi, Govinda, Sarva, Karana, Karanam, happens to be a devotee. Because he understands Ishvara, he understands Parama, he understands why Krishna, he understands Sarva, Karana, Karanam in totality. So that's why Prabhupada says this Krishna consciousness movement enunciates Bhagavad Dharma Vidhi. One who does not practice Bhagavad Dharma, does not understand the cause and effect factor, talks about what? You and I, yours and mine, talk about full of irreligious principle, non-transparent, impure, temporary stuff, full of passion and envy, not so interesting to hear. So we need to understand this process of Krishna consciousness is extremely simple for simple-minded. And it is a bit complicated for difficult-minded. Since we are supposed to be so-called educated, we have our complications within ourselves. So we are definitely needing the help of acharyas to give us necessary direction so that we remain focused in this process and eventually reach the right destination. So to conclude our discussion today, we discussed 6 points to explain this verse. Point number one, give credit where the credit is due. We spoke about Ishvara. Point number two, the sterilization effect. Anyone who comes in contact with Krishna, Parama, whether it is because of Kama, Dvesha, Bayat, Sneha, they are all having same purifying effect. We spoke about Krishna, the person, and how he is the only one, unless everybody else is zero. And when the zeros come in contact with one, we have a meaning. Removal of one doesn't have any meaning. So the word Krishna is in itself purifying in totality. And we spoke about the permanent and the original one, Satchidananda Vigraha. Srimad Bhagavatam explains this nature with the title Vibhavaha. So the word Vibhavaha is used because even Brahma does some creation. Even Lord Shiva does some creation. Even some so-called scientists do some creation. But here, the Supreme Lord, who is Satchidananda, who is Ananta, who is unlimited, he is the permanent and does not get changed when the annihilation happens, remains forever and used to be there since beginning. And fifth point is, we discussed about the unlimited, unconquered, but conquerable by discussing Anadi Adi Govinda. And last but not least, we discussed the faultless process of the spirituality, which is Sarva Karana Karanam. With this, I end here. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. First of all, thank you for the very good class. I joined a little late, but thanks for the summary at the end. And I really like the way you unpacked the entire verse. I think this verse was so important. And the way you unpacked it, and also you gave beautiful realizations. I think it was fantastic, Prabhu. Thank you so much for this wonderful service. Thank you. It was an exceptionally good class.
Krishna. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Anybody else has any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, and Pranam. This very nice class, Prabhuji. I have a question. Like you are telling that Ishvara is Krishna, but sometimes we call Lord Shiva also Ishvara. So in India, so how can we relate to that, Prabhuji?
I expected somebody will ask this. The point is that the word Ishvara, what happens is this. I'll give you 3 points. Number one, lot of Upa Puranas and so many other lower Puranas and lower Gunas. So there are 18 Puranas, 6 for in the mode of goodness, 6 in the mode of passion, 6 in the mode of ignorance. So every Purana has got a purpose to elevate a person from a specific consciousness to a next higher consciousness. So the word Ishvara, sometimes, even Prabhupada uses the word sometimes, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. So it is used in the context to just explain that they are not ordinary people. And they are not cheap, or they are equally powerful, but they are not supremely powerful. So the word Ishvara that time is used in a very limited context. It is a contextual statement, not an universal statement. That is why Srila Prabhupada made very clear, if you analytically see all the purports that Srila Prabhupada has given, everywhere Srila Prabhupada is, whenever he writes the word Krishna, he used to say, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is to reiterate to not get misdirected by this usages of word Ishwara to other demigods. So point number one, they are definitely Lord, they are definitely great, they are definitely special, they are definitely unique, but they are not supreme. And number two, the way demigods are currently perceived in Indian context, it is very alarming, because without proper knowledge, they are, you know, trying to glorify the demigods. It's actually an insult to the demigod as well as an insult to the Supreme Lord. That is why when I explained about this point, Ishwara, I mentioned about demigod worship is supposed to be... I mentioned four points under Ishwara. One other point was that those who claim a demigod as supreme is Nara Pashu. That is not my words, is from Srimad Bhagavatam. I gave the reference also. And the third and most important part is, just because they are not supreme Ishwara doesn't mean that we can disrespect them also. Prabhupada gives the utmost importance that we are supposed to respect the demigods. So Lord Shiva, to be called as Ishwara, is correct in some context when you are reading in a contextual... If you read Shiva Puranam, if you read certain Purana, they are glorified. Even in Vishnu Sahasranama, when it talks about Parvati and Lord Shiva's narration, it is explained as Ishwara Uvacha, which means Lord Shiva spoke about. So Ishwara Uvacha, because that for Parvati, Lord Shiva is the Lord. And from that contextual perspective, if somebody understands that, it's very clear. So that is why to alleviate, here I mentioned about Param Ishwara, Supreme. So Ishwara Parama means Parama Ishwara. Supreme Ishwara is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is it making sense, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I have one more question, Prabhuji. You said in ISKCON, Krishna is not there. In Krishna consciousness, International Society of Krishna Consciousness is there, but Krishna is missing. So what is that exactly you are pointing to, Prabhuji?
What I was trying to point out is that in ISKCON, because Prabhupada once told, if you guys are not going to study my books, we sell Prabhupada books, but we don't read Prabhupada books. We preach to many people, but we don't preach to ourselves. We try to win more souls to Krishna, but not win ourselves. This is general trend. I'm not, specifically, categorically saying somebody, but in general, this trend we have seen in the, movement. So Prabhupada made this comment that Maya, you need not go anywhere else to search for Maya. Maya is there within the movement also, if you are not properly associated with my instructions. And hence Prabhupada made a next statement that ISKCON is a hospital. It's a hospital where you come with your consciousness dirty and purified with Krishna. So previously we were a person with dirty consciousness. Now we are going with Krishna consciousness. So if you are part of this movement, if you are doing service in this movement, if you are learning in this movement, if you are identifying yourself as servant of Srila Prabhupada, then we need to make sure that we understand this word ISKCON very nicely. Because ISKCON is Prabhupada's body. And in that body, the soul of the body is the word Krishna. If you remove the word Krishna, then actually we are killing the movement. So hence, we need to make sure our service, our consciousness, our relationships, all the activities that we do should be centered around Krishna. And that is why we have come to this movement. If it is something else, we can always do some, Rotaract Club, Lions Club, this club, that club. We can go anywhere, the place. Why ISKCON? ISKCON because it is Krishna consciousness. That's why I mentioned that we need to be careful whilst we are in this movement. We may get complacency, we may get familiarity, we may get overconfidence and forget the word Krishna because we get different credits. So hence, we need to refocus and be Krishna conscious, and that's why Srila Prabhupada formed this. Making sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. It was a very beautiful class and you had made it in a point wise, so it was even more easy to understand, even though it is such a complex topic. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Go ahead, Mataji.
Please, you go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, koti koti dandavat pranam to your seva. As usual, wonderful class. Thank you very much for your association. Hari Bol Dhanwad.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much,
yes.
Prabhuji.
Yes.
It's a wonderful class. We have heard so many times this verse, but to dive deep into the ancient, the meaning of this verse was so important. And you give a very nice explanation of each and every word. So thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. The reason actually I did this dissection of this sloka is, actually this sloka is the Siddhanta all in one place. And even though the next 2, 3, 4 shlokas are all still similarly glorifying the Supreme Lord, I just thought that we chant this prayer 1,000 times. And every time when, we just try to remember this verse, we just memorize this verse, or we try to give importance to one or two words. But each and every word is referring to some very deeper aspects of it. So we need to meditate on them, because we are moving forward. As I always say, we are all students of Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you are reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, means it's a serious business. We are already said to ourselves, we are said to everybody in this world, that Krishna consciousness means business. I would make sure that I will dive deep into it and get to the end of it. So we should not read things superficially. We should analytically, deeply study them. Not from a scholarly perspective, but purely from the perspective of helping ourselves to focus more. So that's the reason I just did that.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Agashwa Prabhupada. I have a question. So I've heard this comment before that that the Puranas are different levels, you know, 8 in the mode of ignorance, 8 in the mode of passion, 8 in the mode of goodness. I mean, it's 6. How many 6 times 3? Yeah.
Yes.
18. Yeah. So where is this understanding from? And if it's from, like, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, you know, or Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, then isn't it, aren't we accepting the fact that we accept that? So if somebody is not accepting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or that Gaudiya Sampradaya, you know, a perspective, then how can we, clarify, or how can we use this as pramana? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. So first let me clarify this. There is a... I can get you the exact reference, but the whole thing, there is a complete series on the tree of Vedic literature. I have notes of my seminar before. So it is collected from various places. I'll get the exact places where this... So this, the tree of Vedic literature means we talk about Vedas, Puranas, Itihasas, Shruti, Smriti, Pancharatra. We actually classify them, which is Shruti, which is Smriti, and which is Purana, why Itihasas, and what is Upapurana. So while explaining this, I'm not sure if I read it from, read it myself in some Prabhupada's purports, but I definitely heard from an authentic source about this three parts. But to talk about the pramana aspect of it, actually speaking, all the pramanas with respect to other puranas, what they claim, what is told is they are not wrong, but they are relative. Because what we are saying is in Chaitanya Charitamrita or Gaudiya Siddhanta is also relative, but it is absolutely relative in the topmost sense. So this is not relevant for people who is in the mode of animalistic consciousness. So Purana's job, Itihasa's job, Vedic literature's job is to elevate a consciousness from one level of consciousness to higher level of consciousness. So to make it easier, that's why when explaining this different yoga systems, Srila Prabhupada says, Karma Yoga is also authentic. Jnana Yoga is also authentic. So many yoga systems are authentic, but they are not complete. They are incomplete. So the only complete process is pure devotional service as given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And especially with respect to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pramana, this is extremely confidential and it is not given access to many people. So hence, whoever came in contact with Gaudiya, it is actually a very unique and a special opportunity, because this is not even publicly defined in any of the, if Bhagavatam did not speak about it, so what to speak of any other literature? Because Bhagavatam is considered as the jewel of all the Puranas. Even in Bhagavatam, Mahaprabhu is not explicitly spoken about, because that time the Leela did not happen in the, you know, context. But then it is also said, I heard it from Jayapataka Maharaj myself, that in the next opportunity when it is coming, this Vrindavan Das Thakur, who came and compiled Chaitanya Bhagavata, is going to include Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela and restate the entire Srimad Bhagavatam as Vyasadev. That is why Vyasadev came as Vrindavan Das Thakur, nourished and enjoyed Chaitanya Leela and compiled Chaitanya Bhagavat. And a next opportunity is coming, he is going to recompile and going to present this entire Chaitanya Leela also inside Bhagavatam. So Pramana-wise, what we have got about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is completely coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krishna himself, but is confidentially communicated. Even though a lot of devotees who are coming in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not relate to this fact in this manner, so that is why we are so indebted to Srila Prabhupada, who have given us this exact access to the most confidential aspect of Mahaprabhu. Am I making sense, Mataji?
So let me. So this is what I'm understanding. So the people that don't, let's say, that don't accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Pramana, let's say, so they are where they're supposed to be. In other words, they may be on the Jnana path, they may be on the whatever path they may be on. So
even on the Bhakti path, but not on the pure devotion path.
Okay, maybe on the bhakti path, not the pure devotion path, but that's where they are. So that's where their starting point is. So regardless of, so I had a thought. So until they get to the point of having faith in more than where they're at, that's when they'll become more open to understanding the Gaudiya Pramana. Does that make sense?
But I'll also give you a rejoinder.
Okay.
Because we have four bona fide sampradayas, if somebody actually follows Sri Sampradaya in a very pakka, manner, if somebody follows other sampradayas in a very authentic manner, they have a possibility to still get purification. But that's a very rare possibility. Even they may not come to Chaitanya, but still they can go to Rudra Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, and they can still make it to the Vaikuntha planet. But what we are saying is, in the current context, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is spreading all over the world. It is all encompassing the Siddhanta of all the other Acharyas. So it is easy and practical way to get pure devotional service. In other aspects, they may not, depends upon how serious and how authentic they are.
Okay, so in that same, off of that shoot. So now what about those people who, I'm assuming because, for example, people who have bhakti for Shiva. Okay, so you have somebody who has bhakti for Shiva. So my understanding through Chaitanya Charitamrita that if they are true devotees and not wanting any kind of, like I said, they have some love for Shiva, that Shiva himself, as Mother Saraswati did to Kashmiri Pandit, he will guide them towards Krishna eventually.
Right.
Okay, so there's that. So then now, what about...
I'll just one point, I'll say that. It's not only Shiva. Even if you have love to Ganesh, even if you have love to Kartikeya, if you have love to any other demigod, considering them as devotees of Krishna.
Well, that's the thing. What if they're not thinking of them as devotees of Krishna, but they just have
if you don't consider them as devotee of Krishna, if you claim them as, supreme, you're actually insulting them. It is like somebody calling you, you are the, president of America. Somebody calling you, you may smile and ignore it. But if somebody again and again come and call you a president of America, you get insulted. So over glorification and under glorification, both of them are insults. So if you glorify somebody beyond what they are, if you don't glorify somebody of what they are, both are actually insult to a person. So demigods, when they receive a glorification claiming themselves supreme, they don't take it comfortably. And if the person who is claiming that, if he's innocent, they may help. Hey, go to Krishna. But if the person who is trying to be greedy to get some material benefit, that's why he is calling me supreme, then they are trapped. That's exactly what Srila Prabhupada says. If you read the purport of 6th canto, 16th chapter, text number 38 to 42. 38 to 42, Prabhupada very nicely explains this demigod aspect of it. He's categorically saying they are animals in human form of life.
Yes. Okay. Then, I think that was my complete question. Okay. So I guess, and then that comes to the point where when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, and Srila Prabhupada explains not to preach to the faithless, because it's basically falling on deaf ears, and also not to disturb those people that are on a certain thing, because that'll just cause problems. Because my understanding is that even those, let's say those who are pious people who are doing their prescribed duties according to their dharma, whether they be, brahmanas or whatever, whatever caste they may be in, they're doing certain things because they believe that they are doing what is their prescribed duty. Doing it as a prescribed duty. Those kind of people we don't disturb. We may expose them to Krishna consciousness, but then we just leave it. We don't. If they want to take it, they take it. If not, at least they're doing their prescribed duty, and then eventually, hopefully, they'll get some how connected to Krishna, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yes, because they're doing dharma. They're doing dharma, so dharma will be rewarded. But we want to go beyond dharma, right? We want to do bhakti. See, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, then bhakti. So there are four purusharthas everybody does. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching? He's teaching the panchama purushartha, which is bhakti.
Right.
So if somebody, what happens is all the other processes, they will do these four, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Panchama purushartha is taught only by, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Also, can you send me the
I was traveling a lot, so I remembered that.
No, that's okay. I figured you no problem. I would have reminded you, so no problem. Whenever you have a chance,
I'll send you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanat Pranam. Hare Krishna. Upadhyay and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much. I just want to comment a small. Fine.
I'm hearing your daughter's comment too, so thank you for that.
She's making noise.
She's glorifying, don't worry.
We should go just that is the point.
I'm sorry, I didn't follow that.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I didn't follow what you said, but that's okay. Thanks for your good words. Any other comments? Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Chaitanya Amrita ki jai.
Jai.
Pancham kaltar vishya kripa siddhu yavita kapita nampav nidhya vishya abhyunamu nama anant koti vishya vindhi ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His grace Ram Gidhari Prabhu ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.